Friends, welcome to Holy Cross. We're glad that you're joining us today. Whether that is from your couch or your kitchen, we're glad that you're with us. If you're a newcomer, if you somehow stumbled across our YouTube page, super glad that you're with us. We pray that the time you spend with us, that it would be a blessing. For those of us who call this place home, listen, a couple of announcements that I want to get into your hearts and in your minds. First, we have the incredible opportunity to be a blessing to local school kids, whether that's elementary kids or high school students. In partnership with Hand to Hand Ministry, we have an opportunity to collect some school supplies and a school bag for those who can't purchase it on their own. Now, we understand that you can't just pull a tag down from a board, which is what we would normally do. And so if you're watching this and it's something that your heart kind of beats for, I would love it if you would call the office and ask for Sean. Sean can get you hooked up with all the things that you need so that we can collect those by August 9th. And then get them distributed to the children in need. So that's the first thing. The second thing, of course, is our quarterly food truck. Again, we have an incredible opportunity to be a blessing to our community. We have the opportunity to bless the community with some food distribution. And friends, man, it is an incredible blessing for those who come. Now, of course, we're not doing it like we've always done it in the age of a COVID-19, but we are doing a drive-through, which we did last time and blessed hundreds of households. So for those of you who can't volunteer or who aren't volunteering, can I ask you to pray for them, to pray not only that the food would be a blessing, but that in some miraculous way they would be touched by the goodness of God and the provision of God as they receive those gifts from this place. Pray also that all of those people who are working and volunteering and those families who come, that they would be kept safe in the process and free from disease or virus. Well, friends, as we get into worship this morning, we do so by joining in a word of prayer. And so let's pray. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we pray today that you would so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, mindful of your great provision. We pray that we would be stirred towards holiness of living here and dwelling with you in perfect joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more, knowing that all you have in store for me is good. It's good.
I'll live for you.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
All my days I'll live.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say.
Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is our soul salvation. Peter says it this way in the book of Acts, chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And yet, friends, our lives betray our real thoughts that Jesus somehow isn't sufficient. We add to that our own work or the approval of others, the government, anything else. But friends, when we add to Jesus, this is idolatry. So, let's take a moment, you and I, to confess our sin, owning our lack of trust. Almighty and loving Father, we humbly come to you this day, asking for your forgiveness. We admit that we've not fully relied on the sufficiency of Christ. Whether consciously or unconsciously, we've augmented the truth of our salvation. Forgive us for our lack of trust and our fickle allegiance. We ask this in the powerful name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Friends in Christ, do not hang your heads, but lift up your eyes to Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, who purchased you by his very blood so that we might have access to life eternal. Friends, it is my joy and my privilege to remind you again this day that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace and due. Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed by skin,
their watch are keeping, their cry goes up along, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we like saints before us may see you face to face.
Church, we just sang that incredible truth that the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. That we have the opportunity today to profess our faith, to say out loud what it is we believe about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And today we use words which have been passed down, handed down through the generations, the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let's speak these together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, that is the faith that we believe, this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that same Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who marked us in our baptism, who sealed us heart and head in that beautiful, beautiful truth of the gospel. Well, friends, we have the opportunity to once again dive into the book of Philippians. We're in a preaching series called Joy, a wandering through Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi. And today we read from Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. See, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. See, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, this is God's word for us today.
I love zip ties. I admit it, I love zip ties. I mean, when I get a chance to use them in a pinch to fix something, it's either that or duct tape, but I think zip ties are the best. For example, we went on a family vacation recently, and this is the headrest for our vehicle. It's supposed to slide in and out of these things, and there's supposed to be a little clicky thing over here that holds it in place. Well, as you can see, these zip ties came into perfect use, because then the headrest didn't go down too low and my daughter could be comfortable in the back seat. They are a great quick fix when you are in a pinch, friends. I love zip ties. Three zip ties later, we were all set. We don't need to buy a new one. We can fix it and I can make it with zip ties. Say it with me, friends. Why buy when you can zip tie? Say it again. Why buy when you can zip tie? I'm sorry, honey. See, for example, like when you're out in the yard, need some trimmer wire, but are all out, don't be a buyer. Zip ties, friends. What else we got? You're coming in from showering. Ladies, some of you, maybe like my wife, are the ones who love to take care of the lawn that way. Coming in and taking a shower. Do you have the trouble that sometimes you drop your razor lots? Well, you can just zip tie yourself a razor spot. See? Wonderful. Well, what else we got? Or maybe you're taking care of things in the kitchen and the pot has got the lid too hot. Ooh, can't pick it up. Put a zip tie on there. Now it's not. Or back to the bathroom, need a place, a way to take care of that new shower curtain that you need to put up and you need some loops. Well, friends, zip ties are your friends. Here's the scoop. What else we got? Those of you like me in COVID maybe gained a few pounds along the way, and so the shorts are getting a bit tight now. Well, if they're getting too small, don't go to the mall. You can just add an extender, zip tie right in the center. Or maybe your shoelaces broke. Well, friends, these are no joke. Or potentially having trouble with a zipper. Well, the fix has never been quicker. Or maybe you are out and want to go for a hike, but you need a handle. A zip tie is your friend. Or take care of those keys that are looping around. You got no key chain? Well, that ain't no thing. Well, or maybe like us, maybe you're readers in your house and so you need lots of bookmarks, but none to be found. Well, this bookmark, my friends, will glow in the dark. And that's not all. What else we got? Oh, this last one. For all of you dads of daughters out there, or for ladies, when you're missing that hair tie, if the hair tie broke, this is no joke. That'll stay. I jest, but I really do love zip ties. Certainly not as aesthetically pleasing, but I'm pretty proud of my creations along the way. They give me some joy. I even maybe wonder if I should start like a YouTube page or a blog or a website, call it Zip Tie Guy, like an Etsy shop or something like that, and I could create all my Zip Tie Guy products. You know, there's all kinds of things out there. You could Google it. People make lamps and clothing and chairs and seasonally colored wreaths for their front doors or earrings. Like, but you know, as much as I love zip ties, and as clever as all those things might be, they would still be an inferior brand to the other name brand products that were actually made to do those things. It might have its own niche, but not as something that's incredibly productive, but just something that's cute. The DIY Zip Tie Guy creations would obviously be an inferior brand. It's easy to spot the inferior brand with the tails hanging off of them. You know, the products are out there that don't look as good. It's easier to spot an inferior brand of product. It is harder to spot an inferior brand of righteousness. And with the righteousness, there's a whole lot more on the line. Before I move on using that word that some of you maybe are like, ah, I've heard it before, but I'm not sure what it means. Righteousness is simply this. It's a right standing before God. How do you look to him? Would he say, yep, you're right, good to go, come join me, or would he not? Now here's where it gets really important, friends. If you settle for the inferior brand of product, you're only sacrificing for now on aesthetics and functionality, maybe some of your family's willingness to be seen with you in public. But if you settle for an inferior brand of righteousness, you'll risk missing out on joy now, and even worse, new life with Jesus in the eternal life that is to come. And that's why missionary and pastor of the first century Paul writes this about joy again. It's in the third chapter of Philippians, and it's the third time that he has talked about joy in his letter to the people in Philippi, and he doesn't want them to settle for an inferior brand. And I don't want you to either, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to either, but there aren't random zip ties to help us identify what the inferior brand of righteousness is. So we do need to let him help us discover what we do need to be looking for, so that we don't mistakenly settle either. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we pray that you guide us as we open your word today, so that we can see what we didn't see, so that you can lead us, so that we can know you and follow you well. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1 of that. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today. It's a bit more of a paraphrase kind of translation, but I think it was just really super straightforward on this text in particular. We're going to start at Philippians 3, verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith. He has been telling us time and again in the chapters before this. And if you've been walking with us, you know this already. What has he been telling us? Joy, friends, rejoice, have joy. Chapter 1, he says, joy comes from trusting, knowing that Jesus is at the beginning and at the end and with us in the messy middle. Joy is found in realizing and acknowledging and embracing his presence with us in it all. Chapter 2, joy is found in being like-minded, like Jesus, doing nothing out of selfish ambition. Joy is found in thinking like he thinks, particularly abandoning selfishness and embracing other people's needs above our own. He so wants the people to have joy, to be able to rejoice. So he says, look, I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to tell you again. It actually reminds me of my parents every time I leave. Maybe you parents out there do this too, or you've heard this from your mom and dad. Every time I go, hey, drive safe. It's not like I didn't know that before, but it's an important thing that still remains true every time I leave the house. Would you please drive safe? But Paul's equivalent to drive safe here is And it's a thing that's true every time and all the time. That's why he said it now the third time here in this chapter of Philippians as well. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, sometimes when my parents tell me drive safe, it's an evening time, they might particularly say something like, hey, watch out for deer because they're out there. Well, rejoice in the Lord comes with one of those warnings as well, a specific warning so that we don't end up with an inferior brand of righteousness. But he doesn't warn about deer. He warns about dogs. Verse 2. Philippians 3, verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. The inferior brand is Jesus. And I really want this to stick for you today. So I made a sign for you. The inferior brand is Jesus and. Jesus and something else. Jesus and. In this case, it was Jesus and circumcision, or being circumcised. Circumcision was, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the background to all this, it was something that was commanded by God in the Old Testament, and it was a way, one way, that the people of God demonstrated a trust in God, and it was the way that God welcomed them into a relationship with him, where he would be the one that would lead them, and they would follow his lead, and listen to his teachings, and trust themselves to his protection and his providing. It was a way to enter into God's care and protection. And ever since Jesus has come and died and rose again, there is a new way in, not circumcision, but through Jesus Christ. That is the way now to enter into God's care and protection, is through believing that Jesus Christ really did die and rise and live again for you so that he can give you new life. That's how we get in. Paul's words are this way, that we rely on what he, Jesus, has done for us, putting no confidence in human effort. The inferior brand is what? Can you tell me? That's right. Jesus and. Jesus and some human product or human effort. But it's not always, it's not just circumcision that could get coupled there. You could mistakenly put something else after the and, something else that you're proud of, some other response in faith that you've accomplished or are currently accomplishing. And Paul acknowledged this too, that that's not the only thing that could come alongside or that people might wave as their credentials. Verse 4, he says, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. I could if anybody could. And he goes on to explain, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. This is Saul, who had become Paul. He was a persecutor because he was so passionate about what he was following. And as for righteousness, he says, I obeyed the law without fault. Now, in those days, those would be the kind of credentials that those dogs that he's referring to, these that are attacking them, would have waved around. But you know, Paul's were actually even better. Sort of like a first century Mary Poppins when it comes to religious practice and pedigree. He was practically perfect in every way. The dynamic equivalent at Holy Cross today might sound something like this. Like if this were Paul these days, this is the things he might say. This is what I have accomplished. This is who I am. See if you think any of this sounds like you. Baptized as a baby in the Jordan River by his 8th generation Lutheran pastor grandpa in the same baptismal outfit as 3 generations before him had as well. Never missed a day of Sunday school. Always sat quietly in church. Answered all the pastor's questions during the children's message in such a wise way that the parents would look around and give that attaboy nudge to those parents of his. He prayed at every meal at school, and while the other kids were out on the playground licking the monkey bars, he was teaching them the Lord's Prayer. He brought his Bible to school for quiet reading time and could help the Sunday school teachers teach the lessons. He attended every milestone when it was offered, confirmed his faith in 8th grade, and continued to invest in the younger kids that he had shepherded during VBS and was a pen pal with them throughout the course of the year. He served at food trucks, food drives, food pantries. He led the Bible study before school and led the prayers with his sports teams. He tithed even the first money that he earned when he was mowing lawns, and now he gives 15% and he doesn't tell anybody about it or even write it down on a card because that makes you more righteous and more humble. He was sexually pure until he was married. He never got drunk in college. He stayed away from all drugs and porn and never sunk into depression or was crippled by anxiety. Married a Christian woman and waited the ideal amount of time before having children. What is that these days? I don't know. And he gave them exclusively biblical names, which they can each, even though at the age of 3, quite young, can't say many words, but they can translate them from the original language and tell you what it means. He plans amazing dates every week for he and his wife, knows just how to love her while delivering her coffee in bed every morning and rubbing her shoulders before they go to sleep every night, does devotions with his family every day and with his spouse before they go to bed. He has discipled 8 people himself, and each of them now are discipling 6 others, and he's going to start a house church in his home and with his neighbors. He has led 38 people to accept Jesus as their Savior and was present with each of them at their baptisms. And when he retired, he took up volunteering full-time 5 days a week and on the weekends got continuing education from Concordia University so that he'd be more equipped to teach the 3 Bible studies he teaches each week. I could keep going. Maybe it's a little over the top. But that is essentially what Paul was saying. If you think you have something to boast about, I have more. If you think your dedication to following God's directives is impressive, you have not seen my righteousness resume yet. But he only lists all those things on his righteousness resume in order to say this. Hear this, verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable. I now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else, everything, not just those things, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. When it comes to righteousness, the inferior brand is Jesus and. He puts no confidence in human effort. It's worthless in comparison to what Jesus has done. And because that's true, there is something else to do. I'm going to read from the Message translation this time. Sorry to be skipping around, but I just really feel like it delivers this well. It's kind of a modern language paraphrase, verses 7-9. This is the thing that he does because he knows that Jesus and is this inferior brand. This is the very credentials these people are waving around as something special. I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Why? How? You wonder? Keep listening. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant, dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ and God's righteousness. The inferior brand is, say it with me, Jesus and. Paul goes on to say, verses 10 and 11, I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, and be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. How about you? If there is any way to get in on the resurrection of the dead, do you want it? Do you want to experience his resurrection power both now and in eternity? Do you want to know Christ personally as your leader, teacher, protector, provider? Be embraced by him and fully embrace him. Experience joy that can only be found in him, in his presence, in being like-minded with him, like Paul has encouraged us to do. Then we need to ditch the inferior brand of Jesus and. Let me repeat what Paul repeated. What we do instead is rejoice in the Lord alone, not the Lord and. It's sneaky, friends. It's sneaky, which is why it's worth a warning. The ands can easily be things on your righteousness resume, the list of things that you're proud of, that you've accomplished, that maybe even we celebrate here as a church. You've thrown parties for, you post pictures of, you say, man, I am so proud of you on these days to your children when they hit there. The problem is when we end up resting our confidence, and thus our reason to rejoice, not just in Jesus, but in Jesus and our responses, Jesus and our church attendance, Jesus and my consistent trust in him, Jesus and my regular volunteering. So when church changes and my faithfulness falters and my options for volunteering vanish, my confidence tends to falter and joy seems inaccessible. Or when we end up resting our confidence in this, our reason to rejoice, not just in Jesus, but in Jesus and what we've received from Jesus, Jesus and my job security, Jesus and some idea what's happening this fall with school, Jesus and feeling connected with my friends, even amidst all of these things, Jesus and my health, Jesus and feeling accomplished, Jesus and, well, what are you tempted to fill in the blank with? If I have Jesus and this, then I'll be okay. Maybe there's more than one thing. It'd be worth considering. When these things are uncertain, then it seems like my joy becomes uncertain. And it's sneaky. It almost seems like a distinction without a difference. Jesus and my response to him. Jesus and the current blessings I'm receiving from him. But there is a difference between Jesus and how you respond. Between Jesus and what you receive. Take to heart again Philippians 3 verse 8. Everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. So, I repeat along with Paul, to myself as much to anyone else, rejoice in the Lord and in the Lord alone, not in the inferior brand, not in what you do in response to Jesus. Cast aside the DIY, why buy when I can just zip tie approach to finding joy and new life with Jesus in the life to come. Rejoice in the product that was produced for the purpose of giving you joy. Jesus. The Father made him for this. We ask the question, us DIYers out there, why buy when I can DIY, when I can just hook something else up to it? Wrong question here. Why buy when the purchase has already been made? When Jesus was bought for you. when he bought for you joy now and in eternity with him. It cost him his life, his suffering, and his death, but the purchase has already been made. The goods were delivered to you. In baptism, the Father has given Jesus to you and joined you with his life, your life to his. Jesus is everything you need, no ands needed. So if you want joy, joy that endures even in the midst of the endless news cycles of doom and gloom that we find ourselves doom scrolling through, take notice when you settle for zip tying something else to Jesus. Jesus and is an inferior brand. Joy in the middle of the messy is found when our confidence is in Jesus alone. Amen.
Friends, what a powerful word this morning from Pastor Adam. A reminder that it is Jesus and Jesus alone that is our everything. You know, church, when we pray, we do so in the name of Jesus because it is his name, it is his power, it is his authority by which the Father hears our prayers. And so, friends, let's join our hearts now as we pray. Loving Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who in his life and death and resurrection has won us everything, that we might have access to life eternal, that we are brought into the presence of you, loving Father, that we will be with you forever. And so, Father, may our lives be a witness to the world that Jesus is our everything. Father, today we come in that powerful name of Jesus, the one who is the great physician, the one who, while on earth, brought healing to bodies and minds and souls. We come in that powerful name of Jesus and ask that you would come alongside all of those who in our midst are dealing with sickness. We pray, Lord, that you would eradicate those sicknesses, that you would bring healing and wholeness to their bodies. And in that same powerful name of Jesus, to come alongside those who mourn and grieve. Father, that those who are sick with grief, whose hearts are heavy, we pray, Lord, that they would hear the invitation of your Son Jesus to take his mantle upon them that is easy and light, and there find rest for their souls. Father in heaven, it is by that powerful name of Jesus, that same name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, it is that name under which the church, the body of Christ, is brought together. Whether that church is here in this place or whether it is around the world. And so, Father, we pray on behalf of your church. We think particularly of those places in the world where believing Christians, people with faith in Jesus, people who want to proclaim the good news of Christ, are persecuted because of their faith. Father, strengthen them by your Holy Spirit. Guide them and guard them by your good care. And Father, may their faith be an example to our own. Father, we think also of missionaries around the world. People who have heeded the call to go. Father, we think especially this morning of Nora. We think of the work that she continues to do in Haiti. Lord, we pray that you would prosper the work of her hands and the words of her mouth and the journeys of her feet. We pray, Father, that as she brings Jesus, the name of Jesus, into every corner and crack and crevice that she finds herself, we pray that you would do more than she can ask or imagine. Father, we pray in advance of our food truck as it blesses a community of people. Lord, in some small way, we have a hand in what it is you're doing in this community. And so, Father, we pray that event would be more than just receiving food, but that it would be receiving good news. That in their interactions with those of us who call this place home, Lord, that they would see Christ Jesus. They would see a peace that surpasses a knowledge. Father, they would experience joy that is otherworldly. So bless that event, Father, in ways that we can't ask or imagine. For all of these prayers, Lord, the ones that we speak and the ones that are deep in our hearts, we are thankful that you hear them, not because we're righteous, but because we have Christ who speaks on our behalf. And so, Father, we gather all of these prayers under his name, that powerful name, using the words he's taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, but when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story. My Savior all the day long.
is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Church, again, what an opportunity to gather. What an opportunity to sit under God's Word and discover joy. What an opportunity to listen to God's Holy Spirit. Hey, I want to remind you, church, that next week when we gather, we do so outside in our back parking lot at 10 a.m. I also want to remind you of that dress-alike competition that you could possibly win a prize as you present yourself to Pastor Adam next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And so, friends, as we go this day, let's do that with the blessing that God has passed down. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. And now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.